and for the Rebbe as well, other Rebbeim as well. You can say Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Noi Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Yetzar Es Adam B'Chokhmah U'Ravon Nikavim Nikavim Chalulim Chalulim Galui V'Yodua L'Fnei Kiseich V'Decha Shim Yipaseich Echad Mehem Or Yisisem Echad Mehem Ei Efshar Hiskayem V'Lam Ol L'Fnecha Baruch atah Adonai Noi Rofecho Basorim Afil Asayis.
Amen.
You know, last night, Amen. When you do that, though, you have to give to everyone here. So careful what you're doing. All right. Last night I was at a Chanukah Sabayis, and a lady, Lori Nathan, lives in Matisdorf. So she asked to speak for a moment at the end, just before everybody left. So Mrs. Nathan said like this. She said she was somewhere where somebody met, someone said, take your pulse. So she put her finger, not her thumb, but she put her finger a little bit beneath her wrist. And Lamaise is like this. The person said, good. Thank you, please. Thank you, please. I like it before I go into explanations. If you will all just put your fingers, find your pulse. If a person doesn't feel the pulse, don't get nervous, don't get nervous. But it is a little, when I have my hand with the pulse, that's where the pulse is. But stop for a moment. I'll stop talking. You should feel the pulsating of your heartbeat as it beats. That's the way it is. And thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for giving me a pulse. And please keep it up. That's the idea. So a person can be sitting anywhere. You look for your pulse. Thankfully, thank you, Hashem. Please, please keep it up. Please keep it up. Now, our relationship with a Kaddish Baruch Hu is very different than how we have a relationship with a person. Shtel zech for, I go and I've gone many times to collect money, the yeshivas, whatever the situation is. And sometimes you get a really nice nedava from a person. Can you imagine that I would say to him, oh, thank you very, very much, but I'd like to have more. Can I have more? Or you go back the next day. Can I have another in the duffa? Can I have another donation? Next day, another. Listen, by the time the second comes along, he's already saying, what's with this fella? I gave him something yesterday. You don't get a situation under most circumstances unless a person didn't give enough. And therefore, he's going to give more as such. But otherwise, I gave as much as I could give, and that's the way it is. With a Kaddish Baruch Hu, it's different. Thank you. Please. I feel it, Taka. I'm alive! I'm alive! Thank you! Please keep it up. But what's the difference? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you heard it, and just know it. Everyone says it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a relationship with us. That's it. He doesn't need all of this, you are this, you are that. It's almost like a person stands in front of the window and you have the dust. The dust is coming through, to the sunlight hits the dust. The dust is here, sunlight comes through, and the dust shows, all those millions of particles, and a person goes like this, wow, and all the particles, start moving up all around, and the guy goes home and he says to his wife, you know what happened here? He says, today, I moved my hand, and a million particles of dust moved all over. I mean, what's the big deal? When we are saying whatever we say, or whatever, to him, it makes no difference. But to us, it makes a world of a difference. Because we're there. When we're close to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I recall, this made me recall, when I heard Mrs. Nathan speak about, thank you, please. It reminded me of the Pasuk in Parshas Vayetze, where Leah has a child, her fourth child, Vataro, Vatelet Ben, Vatoymer, Hapam Odes Hashem, I give thanks to Hashem. She called him Yehuda. The next three words at the end of his next two words, Batamod Miletus. She stopped having children. What's the juxtaposition of she said, thank you, Hapam Odes Hashem, and then Batamod Miletus? She stopped giving birth. Mephorshim say, she didn't ask for more. If you don't ask, you're not going to get. So therefore, she should have, and later on she did. But the fact is, we're dependent on Hashem. And we have to know, we are dependent. He doesn't, they're dependent on me. No, siree. But we know we are dependent on a Kaddish Baruch. He is the address. Baruch Atah. You know, we don't even, many people here speak to their Rebbeim, they don't even say Atah. They don't say you. I mean, many, a Bochum comes to me, sometimes it's you, fine, I'm happy with you, I'm happy with the Rebbe, whatever it is. But a Bochum knows, B'derechai, you speak to the Shiva, you speak to the Mashgiach, you speak to the Rebbeim, you speak, does Rebbe want third person to a Kaddish Baruch Hu? Baruch Atah. We say you. You to Hashem. I mean, it's strange. It's true. In Birchas HaMitzvahs, we say, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvah Yisov, we start speaking His commandments, third person. But it's interesting. We speak directly to Hashem. But Hashem wants that. He wanted Chazal to set it up, that when you speak to me, you're going to know, I exist, I am a reality. My essence, no siri, you'll never know. Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvah Yisov, His mitzvahs, third person, remote, away, distant. We can't fathom what Hashem is, but that He's here is a reality, and how He's a reality, and therefore close as close can be. And that's what a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants. Let me tell you another movement. I'm finished with this. This is what the idea is finished. Another idea, that is another hand motion. You can try this too. Follow along with me for 1 second. Just move your hand. It goes around. This is an idea too. It didn't come from Mrs. Nathan, but the Metzius is, this is the way life is. And the life is that a person should know things change. Things change. A person knows I'm not in a rut, because the fact is the way it is not necessarily the way it's going to be. So in one respect, if things aren't going so well financially, things aren't going so well in the next marriage, whatever it is, things can change like this. At the same time, a person shouldn't get overconfident. He knows that the whole lesson of soot is don't get overconfident. A guy goes to the doctor says, you're fine. You're in great shape. What happens? He walks into the waiting room, he drops dead. What? How did this happen to him? Mushroom. It happened like this. It just happened like this. You get the idea. Bingo. The lights can go out. And that's the way it can be. The lights can go out. The Baruch Hu is in charge. And that's an important thing for a person to know. So in one respect, Baruch Hashem, we have good samchas, bitochen, but we know, thank you, but it's all in the hands of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, as such. Now, we're always in a position to thank for what we have, what we don't have. A new idea I want to share. It came to me this morning when I was at davening, and the fact is, Minyan this morning was light. To use a euphemism, it was light. It was sparse. It was sparse. And the fact is, it's true. The Rosh Hashiva was not here. Okay? And you knew it. Not you. I don't mean, no, that's wrong. And we knew it. And the only thing is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was here. I thought about that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was here. And it's true, the Rosh Hashiva wasn't here. The fact is, I thought of the words of Rav Aryeh Elio Baruch Finkel. He was a cousin, a cousin of Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. Rav Elio Baruch, he passed away about 10 years ago. So he has a mimer on the Indian of Koyach HaTfila. And he says like this, davening, Koyach HaTfila cuts through barriers. It cuts through anything that's in our way like a knife should cut through butter. Like a knife should cut through. Because tefillah is a reality. Davening is a reality. A person speaks to Avinu Shebashamayim, who loves us more than we can ever be. And when we ask, not just asking, this is not, Kaddish Baruch Hu is not a butler, Kaddish Baruch Hu, you know, is not a waiter. But the fact is, when we have a relationship with a Kaddish Baruch Hu, like a father-son relationship, things occur as a reality. Now, it's an interesting thing. There's a Gemara in Kedushin that many of us have learned. You have Rav Acha Bar Yaakov comes to town, and Abaye asks the people, don't let him come into your home. He shouldn't sleep in anybody's home. I want him to sleep in the Beis Medrash. Because there is a mazik in the Beis Medrash. There's a serpent, so it looks like a large serpent, like a python, with seven heads. And I want his schus to knock off those heads. And sure enough, and nobody else would go to the Beis Medrash. People are scared and ready to go. Rav Acha bar Yaakov is there. The python comes in with the mazik with the heads. He davens, and each time he davens, another movement, the head falls off. And the marshal says at the end, the thing is dead, of course. And he says, like, how could Abaye do that to him? How could Abaye put him in a makam sakona? How could Abaye put him in a place that even if there's no sakona for him, he's losing schusim? It's not fair. It's not fair. So he says, no. First of all, the python was no this mazik. In the form of a python, was in no match for Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the tzaddik, the chosid, Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Number one, the python was no match. It wasn't a sakon. And second of all, important to know, when a person davens, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu responds to his davening, it is now, there's no loss of schusim. It's not a miracle, it's a reality. A person's very ill, God forbid. Very ill. And unfortunately, there are people who are very ill. A person davens his heart out at the kosel, in his room, wherever it is. Doesn't make a difference. He talks to Hashem, not just three times a day. He talks to him throughout the day. Some of the better davening we do is not during Shacharis Mincha Maariv. The Metzius is. But the fact is, a person davens. And then, Baruch Hashem, remission or whatever it is. Do a person who davens lose his chusim? God forbid. No, certainly not. It is not a miracle. It's a reality. That's the way it should be. So Rabbi Yecheskel Levinstein says, if that's the case, how come it doesn't work so well? I mean, it's not fine. It sounds good, but how come we have situations where it doesn't seem to work so well? And he says, you know what? It's a dover sha'oimid berumo shel oilam. Davening is one of those things that are really high up there, like to the kisei hakovod, va'anoshim mezalzelim bo, but people treat it lightly. But people treat it lightly. And when you treat something lightly, it doesn't work. You have the Maaseh David HaMelech. He cuts off Shaul HaMelech's, he cuts off Shaul HaMelech's corner of his clothing to indicate to him, to show, I was so close to you, I could have killed you last night. And then when David was older, Chazal say that his clothes, the Melech David Zokain, and he had his clothes couldn't give him warmth because he was mezalzel in a piece of cloth by cutting the cloth. Maybe he could have left a note for Shaul. Maybe there's another way to do it instead of being mezalzel in the clothing. So he's lost out in that respect. But davening, God forbid, we never want to be in a position to lose out on davening. Let us always remember we have opportunities to Baruch Hashem be mechazik in our davening. It's so close. And that's it. So for Shteitzach, I understand, Yetzirah really goes to town on us. If it's not in really important, the Yetzirah doesn't bother us. Just remember. So therefore we know it is the way it is because davening is so potent. There's no question. But remember, we're going to see who we're speaking to. We're speaking to Hashem. It should be no less. Then somebody says, listen, I want to go to here, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I want to go to Rav Aaron. I'm going to go to Rav Gamliel, Rav Anovich. Oh, quick, a car, a bus, or this or that. Come on. Here we have a chance. A Kaddish Baruch Hu says, Kindelach, I'm here waiting for you. Anyway, kachahi. With consideration that we try so very much to be thankful to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Thank you, please. And we realize that when we daven, it's the reality. Let's talk about marriage. Okay? That means when I see marriage, all of a sudden, even the guys who are sleeping, perk up. The guys might even be saying something. Maybe. Marriage is a challenge, but it comes as a result of the fact of thank you, please, and the fact of davening, because the key is in any success, and success of marriage too, is going to be davening and appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's position. As we understand, and all the times, Ish v'isha, Shechina Shruya b'neihem, Im Zochu. Fine. in America, and you check me out if you want to, between 40 and 50% of marriages fail. It's an interesting thing. United States, there are different statistics for different countries. And I'm not talking about various subgroups, because, interesting, there are other, you know, amongst subgroups, things work out differently. I'm not going there. It's a purpose, not a study about marriage. I want to talk about a few things about it. And therefore, if between 40 and 50% are failing, how would you, if I said, listen, I'm going to give you a great deal for Pesach on an airline. It's going to be the airline, it's called the CG airline. You know, and it's chewing gum. It's CG, and 50 between 4, don't be concerned, it's a good deal. Between 40 and 50% of the planes crash. Oh! How many of you guys want to take that one, okay? I mean, so this is it. Can you imagine? I laugh sometimes. There's a New York Times article not too recently. They're Orthodox Jews do something that had to do with shachonim, or they, you know, take a stand on marriage. And like I say, what? 40 to 50% of your marriages fail, and you have something to say of criticism about the, you know, Jewish way of doing things? All right. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that now. But I do want to share the idea that yeshiva, here, it's mamish, a wonderful springboard for marriage. What an opportunity to prepare. So begin now. When I was married for the second time, my wife, Aleha Shalom, was nifteris almost 8 years ago. And when I decided to remarry, I went to Rabbi Yaakov Hillel. I said to him, what's the key? A key for a successful marriage. So he told me that, accommodations and adjustments. Adjustments and accommodations. And afterwards, I thought myself afterwards, it's interesting, that when we put away our talis, those of us who wear talisim, I think it's an interesting machshava. And those of us who are not wearing a talisim can see the ones who do. How does one take that big talis and get it into the small bag? We fold it. And that's the pshat. We make an accommodation. We make an adjustment. It's a reminder that a person, because rov times, unless you're part of the Yekesha community or Sephardic community, depending upon where, people are not necessarily wearing talisim until they're married. So therefore, it's a reminder to the married person and to those who look from the outside, or even a woman who sees the man putting on his towel, she gets the idea too, that marriage needs accommodation and adjustments. And it starts here. This is why, by the way, in the sense of adjustments and accommodations, this is why it says there's a schooler for a healthy marriage. On Maitzi Shabbos, we put away our towels, fold the towels. Of course, and thereafter, the rest of the week. What does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? Well, it's talish, because it's teaching us adjustments and accommodations. And I start now with my roommates, in the lunchroom, with chavrusa, with here. That's the idea. I am now giving in sometimes to make an adjustment, to make an accommodation, to suit the other person. I'm not looking here. What's good for me? What's good for the other person or the other people I have to involve myself with? And that is itself a good step in thinking of that. Adjustments and accommodations. Now, I went to the Gaivit, to my Rebbe, Ezel Zayin Gesund, and he is a Talmud of Rav Dessler. Now, everybody who has gone through Michtav Milyo and the first Sefer knows the idea of being a no-saint, of being a giver. And that's, without a doubt, that's the way to go. The whole word, the same, chosen, ches, tof nun. What word do you have in the word chosen? Tain. Give. That's the idea. Okay, so therefore he spoke in those terms, and certainly we have grand opportunities here to give. I look around sometimes when tzedakah is being collected, and I say, boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if a perfect person even starts there? There are people who need that money. And a person, bedafka, remembers to put a few coins, you know, into his pocket so he can take out something to be able to do. Giving. But how much more when we have roommates and everybody here of giving, giving, giving. And we are. By the way, don't say that here, this guy doesn't even understand how good we are in these areas. I know you are. I'm reinforcing those who are doing what they're doing, as well as those who not. And we say, listen, I also need reinforcement. Sometimes when you talk about same time, hey, amanti ki adabir, I believe because I talk about it. So if nobody listens, I do, and I'm getting more reinforcement as I talk. Now, Rav Gamliel Rabinovich, as a Zayin Gezunt, he has a mahalach too very close to the Gaivit, but his own. And he deals with marriage and the idea of v'yahavta recha kamocha. He gives LaMarshall a story that did occur in Tveria some years ago with Rav Moshe Klairs. Moshe Klairs was the Rav there. A person came to who was having difficulty with Shalom Bayis, needed a break. So he went to Tveria, he rented a room, and he went to Mincha in the afternoon. Rav Klairs said to him, listen, daven with us instead and stay at my house. No, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. See, the man ends up staying in Rav Klairs' house. Okay? He didn't discuss his home situation. Nothing. He's in Rav Klairs' house. So while he is there, he gets out. He sleeps through the night. Oh, it's wonderful. It's just quiet. There's no yelling. There's no screaming. There's no unhappiness. And then in the morning, he goes to the mikveh. And he goes back to the house. And before Shachris, he watches. He sees Rav Moshe Klairs is bringing food into his wife's bedroom. He is bringing cookies for her and all this. And he says to her, and he's doing other things in prep in the morning before she even sees the wife. And this man says to Rav Moshe Klairs, listen, when we come back from Shachris, I'm going to go back to my room. He says, why? Well, what's with you? Didn't sleep well in our house. We're not treating you well. You're not having... He says, no, but I didn't realize your wife was sick. He says, wife was sick? My wife's not sick. He says, well, I see you're doing all these... He says, you don't understand. We, just like the Arizal says, that before you daven, shmona, in other words, either whether it's mincha, shachris, mincha marav, you should have in mind a hafta l'reicha kamocha. We decided that we are not going to just look outside to be nice to people, which of course we have to, but we'll start at home. And this is what I do in our marriage, is to be able to take care of my wife, and she takes care of me, a hafta l'reicha kamocha. And by the way, the Reb Chaim Vital says that the underpinning of marriage is a haftar echa kamacha. A person who goes into marriage, what am I going to get out of this? Friend, marriage is not a hospital. Marriage is not a hospital. What am I going to get out of it? What, you have a broken something? So then go take care of yourself first. You know, don't share your tzaras with somebody else. The key is a haftar echa kamacha, and that's the way it works. This man went back. And how do we know the story? Because every year thereafter, he used to come for the yahrzeit of Rav Moshe Klairs after Rav Moshe was nifter, and he told this over to Rav Moshe's grandson when the grandson said, how come you're traveling from Yerushalayim to Tveria and you're already an older man? So he said this, I went back home, and my Shalom Bayis changed dramatically. I changed my whole approach, and it's the approach based on Ahavta Recha Kamocha. And the fact is, there's plenty to be able to say about this. Now, the emes is this. I have what to say, but I think I'm going to skip what I wanted to say in a few areas. Maybe another time I'll say, but I'll jump into something else for the next 5 minutes. And that is, in this, be aware, you, yes, 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 we, you, set the tone at home. Was meinte? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. In this week's Sedra, and you can take a look, it's so very interesting. You have Yehuda, the story of Yehuda and Tamar. So Yehuda sees this woman. He doesn't realize it's his daughter-in-law. And he goes to her, and he says the following. There are three psukim, and they all have within it, Vayomer, Vatomer, Vayomer, Vatomer, Vayomer, Vatomer. And he said, and she said, and he said, and she said, and he said. So the first pasuk is, he goes off the derech, off the way, and he goes to her, he says, Pashta, Vayomer, she answers, Vatomer, whatever she's talking about there. Next pasuk, you have Azakiv Gadol, Vayomer, and she answers, Vatomer, and then the final one's a Revi, Vayomer, and she answers Vatomer. So I once heard from a Rav Litvin, who was once a Rebbe here, that what you see here is the way you talk when you come into a house. This is the way that your wife responds to you under most normal situations. If you come in, Vayomer, I'm happy to be here. She says, I'm happy that you're here. If you come in doom and gloom, because the Rosh Kollel didn't give you a big kiss that day, okay, so Mela, you know, you get that too. So the tone is Vayomer, it's going to be Tomer. And the fact is, where do we start? We start here too. How I'm going to treat the rest of the guys around me, that's the way it's going to be. Most often, to me as well. It's an important thing. I set them. I see, if I smile, they say. I love to say hello to people. So I once tried this out too. I have much more to say, but I'm gonna, you know, the old Chazon LaMoed. I remember that, I find this way, try it. If you say, if you pass people in the street, like we do, or you say to them, Good Shabbos, Boker Tov, they'll answer. They may say Boker Tov, may say Boker Or, once in a while they say nothing. But Ruba the Ruba the Ruba, they're just not ready to say something first, you open it up. So I tried this once, when my wife, Alav Shalom, was in the hospital, so I used to stay overnight, and then leave in the morning to go to shul and to go to school. So I would pass over a bridge to the parking lot where people were already coming to the hospital for their jobs. These are all, you know, most of them are Afro-Americans, and they're a sprinkling of white people as we're going. It's Atlanta, Georgia, man. So therefore, I say, good morning. So they answer, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. One day, I say to myself, okay, I'm going to try something else. Nothing. But I couldn't take it anymore. So half the way I was through, I said, good morning. And then they start answering, good morning. Ruba the Ruba. So it's not any particular group. It's not some. One day somebody did say to me, good morning, Rabbi. Ah, I said, oh, Kiddush Hashem, Kiddush Hashem. So that gave me more power for the whole business. But the fact is, okay, that is, so what I'm just saying is that when we come home, we set the tone. The guy who figures when he goes home, he's going to put his feet up. He works so hard in the kollel, and he puts his feet up and all that. Lo zu aderech. I'll hit a couple things, really, that I didn't think I'd have time for, but I will. Here's the place to practice on hygiene. It's no joke. Oral hygiene. Using floss and brushing teeth. Body hygiene. Bathing daily, showering daily, using deodorant, not on a body that hasn't been cleaned, but the body has his deodorant. Changing of clothes, because I may be clean, but the clothes may stink. If you shave, shave. When I'm thinking about a guy always has to be presentable. Keep yourself in shape when those times close. But here, when the Metzius is, a guy, I wake you guys up in the morning. So I know what's going on in the rooms, you know, when I open that door for a second. So, Hamavin Yovin, you got it? But this is the way where a guy has to keep himself clean. It's a responsibility as such. No Shiloh. Okay, as I say, there's more to say, but it doesn't have to be at one time. And the fact is, the goal of it all, and here's the place to start with our chaverim as such, is this is a Maisa Shehoya. A woman said to her husband, because it was confided in me, before we married, you made me feel so very special. And now that we're married, I feel even more, you make me feel even more special. That's the key. That's the key. Before we were married, you made me feel so special. Now that we're married, you make me feel even more special. Gute Nacht.
Oh, half the guys in the world are hot.